words lead. It's week two of Sticks and Stones. Last week was words tell. This clip was pretty cool, I thought. A lot of great famous leaders using their words to propel a people group forward. So this week, as we look at week number two, words lead. It seems like we live in a time where our words are so heavily regarded, we have to be so careful about what we say. And one of the reasons I think that is because we have so many avenues in which we can talk to each other these days. You know, we can verbally talk, we can Facebook, Instagram, all the social media avenues, we can text message. I've gotten to where now there's a few people that I don't even text message anymore because I think they're going to, you know, read the text message wrong. I got one of those people. You know what I'm talking about? You're better off just to pick up the phone and call them, right? So we've got all these different avenues that we can talk to each other. But we're so on edge all the time. I've talked to teachers when they have to deal with a difficult subject at school. They're scared to death because kids have cell phones. They get them out and they record them. That people are just trying to catch each other saying something crazy. Talking is stressful. You get stressed out just talking, just worried about what people are going to think. Talking is stressful. We not only have to worry about what we say, but we have to worry about how we say it, right? So we've got all these different things weighing into how we talk. A little story. I'm going to come down these steps. Me and these steps hadn't been getting along here lately. But on two Wednesday nights ago, we had to prove it by finding your happiness in Jesus. And as I'm speaking, I like to use my voice. I like to talk to elevate my voice, especially when I get fired up. And that Wednesday night, we were talking about being happy. And I said, the creator of the universe wants to have a relationship with you. Doesn't that make you happy? And they were just like. And right here, he's sitting where he does on Wednesday nights. He said, yeah, but you're yelling at us. There went that awesome point in the message. We gotta worry about how we say stuff too. Talking is stressful. That young man was Cole Gunner, by the way. I don't know if I said his name. He'll call you out. He will call you out. So point number one is our words lead us. Our words lead us. Turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. We're going to get a lot of good stuff from James 3 this morning. We'll start with reading James 3 through 5. James 3, 3 through 5. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest afire. Last week, we learned that what comes out of our mouths is like a window into our hearts. For what is on the inside is surely to come out. We watched this clip about how these leaders use their words to lead people, but what we need to understand this morning is that our words also lead us. Our words affect us in many different ways. Our words can get us hired, and our words can get us fired. Our words can get us a ticket, right in your mouth, and our words can also hopefully get us out of a ticket, right? How about these words? Guys, will you marry me? Buddy, that'll change your life, won't it? For you ladies, I'm not going to leave you out. How about these words? I'm pregnant. All the guys, oh. These words change our life, right? I want you to think for a second. I could go on and on and on about the words or the phrases that change the trajectory of our life. right? There's all kinds of things, all kinds of words, phrases, questions, you name it, that can change our life. But here's the kicker. Words can either change your life for the good or for the bad. Let's talk about the bad for a second. James 3:6 says this. Among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Last week we learned that the shape of our heart is displayed by our mouths. You see, our shoes and our mouths should be headed in the same direction. As a believer, our words represent the one who saved us, right? That's what people hear. Our words represent our Savior. Nothing is more damaging to the cause of Christ than when a believer says one thing with their mouth and does another with their feet. Our words lead. Our words lead us. So this is kind of a summary of last week, that whatever's going on the inside is sure to come out. And you've got to understand that your words are going to lead you each and every day. Now, I want you to think about it. We're going to talk about some other stuff, but I want you to think about it for a second. How your words direct your day. Those decisions you have to make, those conversations that you have with coworkers, whatever it is, your words lead. We have to understand the impact that our words have on us, because they're sure enough going to have an effect on other people. Our words lead us. The next point, our words lead our families. I want to set up shop and talk about this for a second, okay? Any husbands out here? Raise your hand. Like, yep, got a ring. Any wives out here? Mm-hmm. How about the dads? Raise your hand. Moms, right? Would you say that being a husband and a wife is a difficult job? It is. Would you say that being a parent is a difficult job? But here's the thing, it's easy to say I do, right? It's easy to say I do. Easy to put on a ring. Lots of people have babies. But it's a whole nother level of being a godly spouse and a godly parent. That's what takes work. That's what takes work. So we have to understand that our words lead our families. James 3:10. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. I love his sarcasm here. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. This is not right. How often are we guilty of cursing our families by what we say? By what we say. You have a bad day at work. You come home and your spouse takes the brunt of that bad day by your words. Or you take your frustration out on your kids. They're just ready to see you, right? How often are we guilty of cursing our families? Ephesians 4:29, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. We have to understand that our words are used to lead our families, whether that be good or whether that be bad. Let me tell you a story about how I became convicted of how I use my words. Ashley, she takes off to work before me, so I'm in charge of getting Brinley wherever she's going that day, whether that be daycare or Nani's house or whatever, I am responsible. Now, let me be so honest and say that I'm not a morning person. And getting a toddler dressed and out the door for a non-morning person can send your day into chaos. And so I had to realize that these moments with her are special, and they're going by way too fast. And I became convicted on how I can be a good dad, and how I could lead with my words. She's only two, but she asked that we pray every night before we go to bed, because she knows that's routine. She knows that's what we do. So in the morning, before we go, wherever we're going, I stop at the door, she's in my arms, and I say, "Brinley, let Daddy pray for you." She'll bow her little head. You see, church, I want my words to lead my family for the good. For the good. I mess up. I say things I shouldn't. But I want to set that example for her and Ashley, that their dad is going to speak words of encouragement over them. Not only do our words lead us individually, but our words lead our families. It sets the tone. Deuteronomy 6:6-7. "And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home." Say that again. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road and when you're going to bed and when you are getting up. Talk. Speak to parents for a second directly. Your words have a huge impact on your kids. Massive. If I may be so bold this morning, sometimes we become complacent as parents in the church and we think, "Oh, Nick will do a great job on Wednesday night." And he does do a great job. Or Luke's got him on the middle school ministry. It'll be good. They'll hear what they need to hear. That Sunday morning, it's pretty great. They've got a lot of good Sunday school teachers. They'll teach them what they need to hear. And we leave it up to the church. And we wonder why in the world our kids aren't acting like what they learn in church. And you say, "Well, didn't you learn better at church? Didn't they teach you better than that? Are they hearing it from you? Are you talking to your kids about Jesus? Are you leading your wife? Are you helping your husband? Are you doing what you're supposed to with your words at home?" Our words lead. Moms and dads, you got to be bold. I know sometimes it's a little uncomfortable because maybe you haven't engaged in a lot of conversations about Jesus, period. And then you've got your child here. What do I do? I'm scared to death. Talk to them about Jesus. Encourage them. Build them up. Your words lead your families. Last point. Our words lead people to Jesus. Our words lead people to Jesus. Let's read Mark chapter 5, verse 18. "As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, 'No, go to your family and what? Tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been.' So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim, tell, the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them." story of this demon-possessed man. It really wigs some middle schoolers out when Jesus cast the demons in the pigs and they ran down the lake and died. They said, what? It's a crazy story. Let's not get caught up on the craziness. Let's look at what happened. Jesus healed this man. And because Jesus healed this man, he thought, I got to go with this guy everywhere. And Jesus says, no, you can't go with me. I want you to stay here in your hometown, and I want you to tell everybody what I've done. That's what he said. You see, we make sharing our faith, we make telling people about Jesus way, 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 way more complicated than it should be. Now, I'm not here to badmouth methods or models. Please don't read that into this. But for so many years, we've gone through classes and studies, how to share your faith. All that stuff, that's great. Those are good tools. The ABCs, admit, believe, confess. The Billy Graham Salvation Track. Anybody ever hand those out? I did, downtown Cleveland. Some bad looks. My favorite, the Evange Cube. Y'all remember that one? That went around? Remember the Evange Cube? How you gonna put that in your pocket? Right? So we've got all these different methods about sharing your faith, telling people about Jesus. But I think through all these methods, we scared ourselves to death about telling people that Jesus loves them. Because we think in the middle of that conversation, I'm going to forget that verse of the Roman road, and it's going to spur this person off into craziness because I forgot that one verse. What if I leave out that step? They're done. They're not going to get it. You go to work and you get that conversation, you're like, oh, I don't have that track. Left it on my dresser. Guess they're going to miss the good news today. Sarcasm. So we've scared ourselves to death about telling people that Jesus loves them. Can I make it super, super, super clear and simple? Jesus told this guy, just tell him about what I've done. There's not a lot of steps here. There's not a track you have to work through. There's not a cube you got to remember which way to turn over. He says, tell people about what I've done. About what I've done. Guys, I want you to understand this morning that our words, they mean something. Oftentimes we waste words. We don't realize that they carry weight. I want you to think about in your day-to-day life, whether it be at home, maybe that's where you need to start telling people about Jesus. Or your workplace, in your friend group, Friday night hangouts, whatever it is, that our words tell people about Jesus. Going all the way back to last week, what's on the inside is sure to come out. And if Jesus is on the inside, I hope he's coming out. Amen. Our words tell people about Jesus. Romans 10, verse 8 says, in fact, it says, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. I want us to evaluate our life for a second, for a moment. Understand that our words lead us each and every day, but what we say changes the trajectory of that morning, and then our words lead our families. How are you encouraging your family by what you say? And then our words lead people to Jesus. And those aren't separate things. They're all intertwined. Hopefully, in a heart that is in love with Jesus. And a heart that is in love with Jesus. He changes everything. And because he changes your heart, he's going to change your words. He's going to change the way you look at your family. He's going to place such a burden on your heart for your kids to be saved that you cannot help but tell them about Jesus. He's going to put a burden on your heart so huge that you cannot help but tell your coworker about Jesus. It's not that hard. Don't worry about forgetting a step. Just tell him what he's done. Just tell him what he's done. Understand that your words have power. I've got a buddy who, you ever heard of a person say this? Don't have a filter, sorry. Don't have a filter, my bad, sorry. Oops, no filter. I don't want to Jesus juke you this morning, but you do have a filter and his name's Jesus. You don't just have to bloop everything. You can hold it in. But anyway, my buddy, he's kind of one of those no-filter guys. And I heard him say something one time in conversation. Sometimes I can say things that don't need to be said. And he said, dude, I wake up every morning, and I pray that God would help me control my mouth. And I thought, you know what? I don't know that I've ever prayed that. I don't think I've ever been that specific. God, just help me control my words. Some of you in here are like, I pray that all the time, man. I do. Should have done it before I came to church. Right? But it's the truth. And so I begin to kind of let that infiltrate my heart and my life, like, okay, God, help me control what I say. I've had to enter into some very difficult conversations here. And in ministry, that just happens. And it's those surprise visits that'll get you. But the ones that you know are coming, I say, God, help me in my words. Help this conversation. Help me say what needs to be said and nothing more. I just wonder if we woke up in the morning and we say, God, help my words. Help those conversations that I'm going to have. Help me to lead my wife better through my words and then give her a hug. Help my words be encouraging to my kids. I don't want to tear them down. They get that enough at baseball. Help my words encourage my kids. And God, help my words lead people to Jesus. I want to challenge you this morning, like my buddy who said, I don't have a filter, because you do. I want you to wake up each morning. I don't know your ritual, I don't know how that works. Ask God to help you with your words. It's so simple. Let me pray for you.